Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The last strike by COTA employees was in 1986 and 1987 when bus drivers and mechanics stopped work for 70 days. If negotiators don't find a solution soon, another strike by drivers and maintenance workers begins July 2nd. Joining us now to recap the conflict between COTA and transport workers, Union Local 208 or 208, is Mark Ferencik of the Columbus Dispatch. Welcome back, Mark.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Good, thank you. Question for our listeners who routinely use COTA buses for transportation. If COTA drivers strike, what is your contingency plan? Give us a call and tell us your ideas. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So, Mark, right now the COTA board is in an executive session, right?
Well, they were as of about 9:20 or 9:25 when I left the meeting, correct, and I'll be going back there. But, yeah, they're simply getting an update and discussing where the negotiations are. Right now, the COTA negotiators are scheduled to meet with union negotiators and a mediator at 1:30 on Sunday, presumably a last-ditch effort to try to resolve this before the drivers and mechanics are to go on strike at 2 a.m. on Monday.
What do we know about what the major sticking points are?
Well, back in April, the union rejected a fact finder's agreement as well as a tentative agreement. They had agreed to a number of things, including 2% raises this year and 2.5% raises in 2013 and 2014. With, again, more than 600 bus drivers and mechanics. One of the major sticking points is that the drivers and mechanics do not want to pay more towards their public employee pensions. They would have to pay another percent next year and a percent on top of that in 2014. They also want drivers to be able to reach the top of COTA's pay scale more quickly. So back in April, they voted 500 to 10, I believe, to basically throw out the entire tentative agreement. They've met four times since then, have not been able to make enough progress on it, and that leaves us to where we are today, just a few days away from a potentially crippling strike.
When we talk about them paying the proposal to have them pay more toward their public employee pensions, are we talking about a larger share?
Yes, a larger share, correct.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And on Monday, they're meeting at 1:30. You're saying it's the last day?
No, on Sunday.
On Sunday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Sunday, yes.
I've been doing this today.
That's
on
fine.
Sunday. It's because the strike is supposed to start early morning Monday, right?
Yes, correct. Right. And that's a day before, again, red, white, and boom. A strike would affect many riders anyway if you use it for obviously getting to work, getting to medical appointments, other reasons, but because so many more riders who don't use COTA on a regular basis do use it to get downtown for the fireworks, that could make things sticky on Tuesday if they don't resolve it by then.
David in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, thanks. I have an idea for a possible strike for Red, White, and Boom. Encourage people to bicycle downtown. You know, at ComFest, they had this very interesting process. It was the bicycle corral.
Yeah.
It was a roped-off area where you could put your bike in. You didn't even have to lock it. They had security there. And I think that would encourage people to, you know, feel comfortable with their bikes. They could put it someplace. You could rope off a street or a block or something and having people doing security of it. The bike clubs would be willing to get back to that.
Well, I've got someone coming on from Department of Public Safety later on in the hour, and I'll ask her about that.
Oh, good.
All right. Thank you, David.
Bye.
Take care. What are your plans if COTA drivers go on strike? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Now, what they voted on in April, that was something that the negotiators for COTA or for the drivers and the mechanics, they agreed on that, right? And then they put it to the
yes,
membership.
Correct. They agreed to, I believe, 25 of 26 issues in that tentative agreement, right, between COTA management and the union's negotiating team. They put that to a vote of the membership then, and overwhelmingly they rejected, again, a fact finder's report and also that tentative agreement. So it's basically trying to resolve all the issues again, although, again, there are just a couple of sticking points. So, right, they threw the entire agreement out.
I noticed in your article, I think it was yesterday, former Mayor Buck Reinhardt said this is an embarrassment to the city.
Right. And he was talking from what he went through back in 1986 and 87 when, again, there was a 70-day strike. And I believe what he was referring to was that, and he was talking about that this would be some sort of a national embarrassment to the city. I don't know if it would be or not, but because it was so difficult then, because so many people had to make other options to get to and from work. And again, this was, I think, from November through the Christmas season and into early 1987, that made things probably doubly difficult. And again, he was kind of learning along the way, he said, as to how these things work. And he was in discussions, I believe, with COTA, I think urging them to try to get this resolved. But because it was so difficult, because, again, MORPC, I think, received about 1,000 calls at the time for ride shares. I think employers had to make other types of provisions for their employees to get to and from work. It would be a tough haul this time, too, especially since the city's bigger. There are more people. And, you know, nobody knows what to expect if this was to go on for an extended period of time.
Does a change of leadership have anything to do with that, from Bill Loda to Curtis Stitt?
That I don't know. I have no idea if the change in leadership had anything to do with it. I would guess that it's just the specific provisions of the contract. It's always, you know, not always, but often about work issues and economic issues more than about personalities. And I would think that it's the same this time around.
There is an issue of a 4-day work week for the drivers.
Yes, I think it would be 4 10-hour days, okay, if I remember that correctly. But I don't know if that is that issue right now.
We have a couple Facebook comments, one from John. He says, I currently take COTA to work and to do almost all of my daily tasks. It will be a real detriment, and it will also increase the amount of drunk driving, as I know many people who regularly take COTA to and from bars and events. As a rider by choice, I can make do and will probably bike quite a bit more than usual, but the strike will be very detrimental to those who have no other means of transport. Also from Robert on Facebook, he writes, fortunately, the strike won't affect me now. That wasn't true 3 months ago, but I no longer work downtown. So downtown workers mostly affected, right?
Yes, many downtown workers. But again, anybody who gets to and from work and just, again, appointments, school, you know, even Columbus State, that type of thing, many people are going to be affected by that. And I know to that end, they have a plan, if you've bought passes, that 31-day passes, 7-day passes, that kind of thing, that they do have a refund policy that's going to be in effect, where if you bought your pass already and started to use it, you will be able to get basically a per-day refund depending on how long the strike goes on. And I know that Ohio State, too, is making plans for dealing with this, where I believe that if you're a student with a car and if you don't have a parking permit, you'll be able to park on the West Campus lots in the C parking spaces. And they're making some other provisions that are going to try to help schedule students with rides as well.
Right. They can go to, it's easy to find online. We'll post a link to a website that if people have any questions about OSU's contingency plans, they can go to WOSU.org/allsides. Coming up, we're going to have Curtis Stitt, the president and CEO of COTA, on to talk about what they're doing. We've also invited a representative of the union. They didn't reply, but I do know, I think I read in your story or in Bob Vitale's story, Mark Ferencek, that they're under a gag order.
Yes, that's what he told me when we spoke to him earlier this week, correct, that he said he really couldn't talk too much about where they're at or what they're going to be looking for this week as they try to start up negotiations again, correct?
But COTA's not under the same.
As far as I know, I mean, they were able to tell us a little bit earlier this week about where some of the things stand. That's what the union president told us, correct?
The board, the COTA board today talked about and voted on issues of security if the strike does go through.
Correct. They had a provision today that they were scheduled to vote on where they would be paying up to $500,000 for temporary security services to protect property and personnel during a strike. I'm going to check to see if they passed it. I presume that they have.
And for how much was that?
For up to $500,000. So it's a pretty expensive contract, and I presume it's tied to the length of time that the strike may happen. And again, it would be for 30 days.
Mark in Springfield, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Good morning. I'm a union member myself, and one of the problems that I and a lot of my fellow workers have is that there's so many abuses today by unions and the attempt to flex their muscles in situations like this, where you know the cities only have so much money they can put towards funding these programs. Now, there are a lot of people out there that have CDLs that are unemployed that would gladly take those jobs. I say the city should give them a choice. You know, you either go back to work with what we can give you or we replace you.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mark, for your call.
Thank you.
Mark Ferencsik, has it come to that yet, or are they still trying to work it out? I mean, is there a sense that there's still a lot of willingness to work something out?
Well, I presume, again, both sides don't want a strike, and I would think that in the 13 hours or 12-plus hours they'll have to negotiate this from Sunday into Monday, that they're going to do whatever they can to try to work it out, and if it goes beyond 2 o'clock, I think that they would probably talk beyond that if they make some headway. So, I would think that neither side wants a strike. That would be pretty detrimental to not only the city, but certainly to the workers who would be losing pay. And I would think that they, are going to try to do whatever they can to make this work.
From Beth on Facebook, she writes, I hate to say it, but a strike would not impact me very much. With the cost of fuel and the inconvenience of finding parking downtown, I would love to take better advantage of public transportation. But COTA takes approximately 1 hour to travel 10 miles up and down High Street, which adds up to 2 hours round trip. And they stop running past Graceland at 11 p.m. I'm sure a strike would be horrible for workday commuters, but those who live close to downtown... But as a suburbanite, albeit within 270, I learned not to rely on COTA a long time ago. Mark Ferencsik, do we have any idea how many people are affected by this on a day-to-day basis?
They have, COTA gives basically 60 to 65,000 rides a day. So that's a substantial number of people who rely on the service. Certainly, Columbus is an automobile town. We don't have a rail system here like other major metropolitan areas, but that still is a substantial number of people who use the service. And if those people don't have alternatives or easily accessible alternatives, that's going to affect a lot of people if this happens beyond red, white, and boom, as next week turns back into a work week after July 4th. How are all those folks going to be able to get around?
Have we heard if any of the big companies or big employers are thinking about things and trying to figure out how to get their workers downtown?
I would think so. I haven't spoken with any. I know during the last strike, 25 years ago, companies like Nationwide and others made provisions for their employees. Mm-hmm. I know that MORPC has a service, basically a ride share service, where people can contact them to see if they can carpool with other people whose names MORPC keeps in a database. So there are some contingency plans. Obviously, some people probably would rely on taxi cabs and friends and family. But I would think a lot of other people may be shut out, and that's going to be very problematic for them.
Well, Mark Ferencik, thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thank you, man.
Mark Ferencik, he's a reporter with the Columbus Dispatch. Coming up, Curtis Stitt, president and CEO of COTA. Also, by the way, we'll have someone from Warp City to talk about their rideshare plan coming up later on. If you want to tell us how you're going to manage if the strike does go through, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and if you contributed to our station this year, thank you. Your support provides for the highest quality news and information. Our fiscal year ends on June 30th, and we are close to our goal, but we still need to hear from you. If you wish to make an additional gift or fulfill your current gift, you can do so right now at our website, WOSU.org, or by calling 866-897-9678. And thank you for supporting 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from Home Care Assistance, in-home care for older adults with a philosophy of promoting health, well-being, and quality of life for all clients, no matter their limitations. Information on Home Care Assistance at 481-8888.
75 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today warming up to a high near 88. Clear skies tonight, a low of 64, even warmer tomorrow, sunshine and a high of 99. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
The last strike by COTA employees was in 1986 and 1987 when bus drivers and mechanics stopped work for 70 days. If negotiators don't find a solution soon, another strike by drivers and mechanics begins July 2nd. Joining us now is COTA President and CEO Curtis Stitt. Welcome to the show, Curtis.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate
so you have a meeting on Sunday, starts at 1:30. Is this the last ditch effort?
Well, it's a continuing effort to try to get the parties to resolve the differences. And we hope we are able to accomplish that without a service interruption.
Now, back in, you had reached an agreement. You wrote in a press release with union leadership on 25 of the 26 articles in the contract. You thought you were well on the way to a fair and equitable deal, but it fell apart when the rank and file voted on it. What were you surprised by that?
Yes, we were shocked by it. 25 issues were resolved. There was one issue that went to a neutral third party that the union and management agreed upon to settle and make a ruling on a final issue. The executive board of the union, however, recommended that this entire package, including the 25 negotiated tentative agreements, be rejected by their membership. We were shocked at that recommendation, and we were shocked by the vote.
By the way, we did invite representatives of the union to join us today. They said they didn't respond to our request, but they have told the Dispatch that they're under a gag order. There's no gag order for COTA, though?
To my knowledge, there's no gag order whatsoever. The federal mediator who's been working with us for the past several months asked us while we were negotiating that we not engage the media. However, we made it clear to the mediator and to the union that if there was a notice to strike filed, we are responsible to this community, and we have to get our message out to the community, especially to the riders, on what needs to be done if there is a strike, that they have to begin to fend for themselves. And we're not going to wait till the evening of the strike to reach out to our communication mechanism in the media to get word out about the strike and to advise people that we are not able to provide service because the operators and mechanics have left the job, and they're going to have to plan now, not Sunday, but begin to plan now what they're going to do to get to the destinations they have to reach if there's a strike.
Was that the purpose of the full-page ad in today's paper?
That was the purpose, to begin or to continue our effort to get the message out into the community, but also to make it clear to the public that we think we have been negotiating in good faith. We propose fair wage increases. We proposed an incentive program that would allow employees to reduce their percentage of their contribution to the insurance premium. And we proposed four 10-hour days to provide a better work-life balance for our operators who have the toughest job at COTA. So we've been trying to do things that would improve conditions, work conditions, in our package and our proposals, and we're miffed at why the union wants to continuously reject those proposals.
When they voted on it in April, was it all up or down? It wasn't. There was no piecemeal in terms of the vote. It had to be up or down for the whole thing. So I'm wondering, any sense about really what we're talking about? What's on the table on Sunday?
You're right. The union, the union could not, nor could the Board of Trustees cherry pick which provisions of the total package that we accepted or rejected. It's either accept the entire package or reject the entire package. That's the way it works. But the sticking points have been wages. We propose a 7% wage increase. And that's
over the course of 3 years.
Over the course of 3 years. Mm-hmm. We propose to offset it by a 2% reduction in the amount that COTA picks up in TRS. But net, it would be a 5% wage increase over 7 years. And you've got to remember that COTA operators are the highest paid operators in the United States when you adjust for cost of living. When you look at our wage structure, our top wage is the highest wage in the United States when you adjust regionally for cost of living. We do treat our employees fairly, and that's a prime example of the fact that we are fair with our compensation for our employees.
My guest is Curtis Stitt, President and CEO of COTA. We're talking about the possible strike. It'll begin early July 2nd, just in time for Red, White, and Boom. If you have a question or comment for Curtis Stitt of COTA, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us on allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the Facebook page, have others today. You're listening to All Sides with Dan Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. A security contract was voted on today. Tell us more about that, up to $500,000 for security for the strike.
Well, if there's a strike, we've got to protect our assets. We don't know what might happen in a strike. We know that we will have facilities that are essentially shut down, and we want to make sure that they are secure throughout the time of a strike. We are also have employees who are coming to work and who a number of whom park at our facilities and then take a bus all the way into the downtown to our administrative office. We want to make sure that those people are able to safely park their cars at our facilities at Fields Avenue and McKinley Avenue and ride the bus on into our administrative office on North High Street as they do currently. And we're going to try to maintain a safe environment for our employees, number one, and then for COTA assets when those facilities are shut down and not operating regular bus service.
Is this kind of contract for security, is that pretty routine in these sort of situations?
Yeah, it's absolutely routine. It's what any prudent business would do if they were shut down because of a strike.
Your employees, you're going to continue service for your employees at those particular spots, as well as others, correct?
Well, we're not going to have a COTA bus service for those employees.
Okay.
We have hired as part of that security contract, that security company will transport our employees from the remote locations to the downtown office.
And for people who are disabled, there's the mainstream program and other services for people who are disabled. How about those?
All of our mainstream services will continue to operate totally uninterrupted. Anyone who uses our mainstream, which is our ADA service or our non-ADA service or our will call service, and the passengers who use those know exactly what they are, will be able to continue to call in as they do every day and make their reservations and get their trips. The ADA service, the non-ADA service, and the will call service will continue uninterrupted.
From Sherry on Facebook, she writes, if they strike, I wouldn't be able to get to work. My boss and I were discussing Plan A and Plan B possibilities yesterday. I use COTA for just about everything. I am a non-driver with a disability.
Well, she's a non-driver with a disability, and she qualifies for our ADA service. She can make the call to our ADA service and get a schedule a trip on our ADA service. So she would be covered if she qualifies for our mainstream service. But that's the important thing that we have to remember here. It's not the people who are sitting at the table who are going to be impacted. It's not the people who are going to be going to Red, White, and Boom alone who will be impacted. Red, White, and Boom is a tremendous and important event for Central Ohio. Every year it's the largest event in Central Ohio. This year it has special significance, and we think it's very important here at COTA. But we also think the people who have to get to work on Monday, the day before Red, White, and Boom, and have to get to work on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, the days after Red, White, and Boom, are important, equally important, if not more important, than what happens just on the single Red, White, and Boom day. So we are working very hard to make sure that no service is interrupted, that Red, White, and Boom goes off without a hitch, equally important that everybody who has to get to work, to their doctor's office, to school, and all their other important destinations get there on COTA, as they have been able to do every day to this point.
Who drives the buses to maintain the mainstream services?
We have contracted that service out to a third-party contractor since the beginning of that program. COTA has always used a third party to provide our paratransit services. It's efficient for COTA to do it that way. However, we provide the buses and the facilities, and that's why it looks transparent to the public. All of our buses are painted the same way, our mainstream buses and our regular fixed route buses. People would assume on the street that it's all being operated by COTA, but there's a third-party contractor who has a union for their operators, but their contract provides that that union cannot strike. And that's a benefit that for COTA, because we're required to provide that service by federal law.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Okay.
And with that no-strike provision, it ensures us that if there's a work stoppage with our regular bus service, that people with disabilities will be able to get to their destinations.
From Jennifer on Facebook, she writes, I've been taking the bus to work daily for several years now. It saves me a ton of money. My bus is full of regular commuters. Many of us know each other by name. I know a few don't have cars and rely on it. I haven't had trouble with COTA except maybe for a rude driver every now and again. I enjoy sitting back and reading and not fighting traffic and traffic anger. It would definitely affect my life. I was going to ask you about that four-day work week that was in the package at the outset. Why is that considered something? Why a four-day work week? It's still 10 hours a day.
We think it's something that a lot of operators might want to take advantage of. Some of our operators have to work a span. They begin their day at one time, and it's not until 10, 12 hours later that they've gotten their 8 hours in on a particular day. And if they have to do that 5 days a week, it's very tough on their work-life balance. If we can create some slots where people can work 4 days a week and still work that 10 or 12-hour span and get 10 hours in and get 3 days off, they're going to be able to spend more time with their families. They're not going to have 4 days in a row or 4 days throughout the week where they're working 12 or 14 hours or available 12 or 14 hours in a span to get their 8 hours in. So that's one of the reasons that one of the many reasons that the operator's jobs are so difficult because of the span of time it takes to get their 8 hours in. And then they get 2 days off. We've proposed something that will allow some of them to get 3 days off.
What is the significance of the accelerated pay increase to get them to the top level faster?
Well, let me first,
I mean, everyone would like that, but...
Yeah. Well, I'll first say, I'm not sure where the union is, but I've read statements, and again, I don't see there's a gag order. I've seen the union president on television on every major station in Columbus over the past 3 or 4 days. But I can tell you that no employer hires people right off the street day one, making the same amount as a person who's been there 7 years with experience and has proven themselves over a period of time. And we take the same approach. Our operators, bus operators, come in making a percentage of what the people who have been here for 7 years. Because we have been in a growth mode for the last 5 or 6 years, we have a number of new operators. Essentially, 70-75% of our operators are somewhere in that first 6 years of the progression. And if we cut off a year or two of the progression, which has been discussed at the table, it would be a significant financial impact to COTA to reduce the progression from 7 years to 6 years or to 5 years. We have looked at the issue of progression and have proposed increasing the percentage that each operator makes throughout the 7 years of the progression so that they will make more during each of the 7 years, but to cut off the last couple of years of the progression would be very costly. COTA has a responsibility to the taxpayers. Our stakeholders are the taxpayers, the riders, as well as our employees. I will be the first one to stand up and say our employees have the right to be fairly compensated. But with that, it has to be fair and reasonable compensation. And we have to keep a balance between all of those three stakeholder groups, the taxpayers, the riders, and the employees. And as we've approached the collective bargaining, we've tried to maintain that balance while the union has only looked at the interests of the employees.
An email from Laura. She writes, Mainstream has always been overbooked and therefore unavailable for new riders during rush hour. At the exact time you need them in order to get to work, they will not be able to accommodate you. Has that been a problem, Curtis Stitt?
When you said Mainstream?
Yes.
Well, our Mainstream service, our ADA service, the service that we're required to provide by federal law, also requires us to maintain a no-denial policy. So anybody who calls in 24 hours ahead of time, they can call in as early as a week ahead of time and as late as 24 hours ahead of time. And we have to accommodate those people who are qualified for the service. So we maintain a zero denial rate. Now we have what we call non-ADA service because COTA has chosen to provide service above and beyond what the federal law requires. And we provide non-ADA service, and we're not always able to maintain a zero denial on that. But what we're required to provide by federal law, we adhere to that federal law and a zero denial if you call within that 7 days out and 24 hours ahead of your trip.
To our listeners who might be just joining us, we did request an interview with the union regarding the COTA negotiations, and they didn't respond to our request, but they did have told the Columbus Dispatch that they're under a gag order and can't talk about it. We're not sure what the circumstances are of that, but we did try to get them for the show and just wanted to let people know. Curtis Stitt, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. If you have any other questions, feel free to call me. I would like to say, though, to the public that we want to do everything we can to avoid this work stoppage that's been threatened by the union. And we're going to be at the table on Sunday. We are asking our negotiating team to think outside the box and provide some proposals that will move the needle towards the middle. And we ask that the union do the same thing on their side of the table when they come.
Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Curtis Stitt, he's president and CEO of COTA. Coming up, we're going to hear from the city Department of Public Safety about what to look for on Red, White, and Boom coming up next week. And we're also going to hear from Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission on some other options that might be out there for some folks. So stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
and Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the London Olympics. They kick off in 1 month. We'll go to London and to the athletes preparing to compete. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point begins this afternoon at 1 here on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for joining us today. And in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, we'll have an open forum on All Sides. What do you want to talk about? That's from 11 till noon, right here on 89.7 NPR News. And be sure to join us for All Sides with Ann Fisher tomorrow from 10 until noon. We'll have live special coverage of the United States Supreme Court decision on President Obama's health care. That will be tomorrow from 10 until noon here on 89.7 NPR News.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Lancaster Festival, beginning a day early this year to welcome renowned pianist Misha Dichter in concert with the Lancaster Festival Orchestra on Wednesday, July 18th at 7:30. Details at lancasterfestival.org.
76 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine and a hot day today, warming up to a high of 88. Clear skies tonight, a low of 64. Sunny and hot on Thursday, even warmer with a high of 99 degrees. This is 89.7 NPR News, and All Sides continues.
The last strike by COTA employees was in 1986 and 1987 when bus drivers and mechanics stopped work for 70 days. If negotiators don't find a solution soon, another strike by drivers and mechanics begins July 2nd. Joining us now to talk about contingency plans for Red, White, and Boom on Tuesday evening is Columbus Department of Public Safety spokesperson Amanda Ford. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Good morning, Ann.
Also with us is Lynn Robinson. She's Ride Solutions Manager for the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thank you. Good morning.
We already this hour, we've talked with Curtis Stitt, President and CEO of COTA, and we did request an interview with the union to talk about the negotiation process. They did not respond to our request for an interview. If our listeners out there want to tell us how the potential or a possible strike might impact their lives and how they're going to deal with it, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. First of all, Lynn Robinson, there are alternatives provided by Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. Can you tell us about what you can offer people who are without transportation if the strike does occur?
Sure. What we do at Morphe in the Rise Solutions program is we provide individuals with other alternatives, and those alternatives are carpooling and van pooling options. So what we do is we gather information about that commuter, and that information is simple: where you live and where are you trying to get to. Then we put you into a secured database, which allows us to match you based on what time of day you're traveling, where you're going to, and we keep it within your own radius. So if you live, we only match folks that live 2 or 3 miles unless they ask us to match them further out.
Okay.
So our goal is to try to find instant or, you know, reliable carpool matches, and then we have a van pool program. The van pool program does come with a 30-day pay-as-you-go fee, and it's a little more stringent than a relaxed carpool. And we also, for those that put their that ride the bus and put their bikes on the bus, we offer what's called our bike matching. And that allows, of course, you know, it's always more safe to ride in numbers. So we match those that might need to ride their bike further distance, and they can be matched with some other folks that are traveling on by bike, too.
Where can they go to learn more about these programs?
They would go to www.morpc.org. They will click on transportation, and the drop down will lead them to, they would click on Ride Solutions from that point.
Are you prepared for an influx because of the strike?
We have. Actually, I checked some numbers just yesterday, and just comparing weeks to weeks as this information has come about. Prior to this week, we received 67 new applications. This week, we received 167 new applications. So that's letting us know, you know, of course, with gas prices mm-hmm. and other issues with the ozone season apparent right now, but with this strike looming being talked about, mm-hmm. we are seeing an increase of individuals that are looking for other options.
Amanda Ford, what are you doing at the Department of Public Safety to prepare, or what are you expecting in terms of change? We'll get to red, white, and boom, but what is the scenario that you anticipate if there is a strike?
You know, realistically, I think the thing we can expect the most is to see more pedestrian and bicycle traffic out on our roads. You know, obviously, people still need to get to work. They still have responsibilities, errands to run, and things like that. So I think what we're going to see is an increase in those cyclists and pedestrians walking on the road. So I think it's going to be key for not only motorists to be cautious of that. You may not be typically used to seeing the cyclists riding down the road on your commute to and from work or when you're out running your errands. So just being a little more cautious of that. But, you know, it's also reminding pedestrian and bicyclists to dress appropriately. Make sure they're wearing bright-colored clothing, reflective gear. You know, if you're a pedestrian walking, you know, against traffic so that you can see the cars coming towards you, but a bicyclist, make sure you're following all the traffic laws. So I think that's going to be the key, that be a responsible pedestrian and bicyclist, but also drivers need to be responsible and be cautious of this.
Are you? There could be more traffic downtown as well, not just for red, white, and boom, but every day.
Absolutely, yeah, every day. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing lots of bicyclists downtown now. So for that to increase, you know, drivers are going to have to really be careful.
So what about red, white, and boom? What are you planning for that? How are you? I read, I think it was in the Dispatch today or yesterday, to mm-hmm. get there earlier. But the bottom line is, you're going to have more cars down there.
Absolutely. You know, we met yesterday internally just to talk about, you know, what strategies we could put into place. You know, unfortunately, it's reminding people come down early. You know, as cars funnel into downtown, it makes it pretty easy to get down here. But, you know, you have nearly 500,000 people, 600,000 people trying to leave at one time. It does make it a little more difficult. So we're going to reassign some officers to help with that traffic trying to get out of downtown. So we'll have some more folks out there directing traffic, but also we'll have officers walking with larger groups of pedestrians to make sure they're crossing the street safely. So, you know, the biggest issue is people are really going to need to be patient. You know, I think the dispatch reported that about 26,000 people take advantage of the COTA bus for red, white, and boom. You know, so we estimated that's going to bring about an additional 8,000 to 9,000 cars down in the downtown area if the strike occurs. So, you know, obviously parking's going to be an issue. You're going to make congestion even worse. So, you know, the most important thing is people are going to have to be patient.
And there have been problems before, so
absolutely.
Under the best of circumstances, right.
Yes, every year it's an issue. So, you know, obviously we would encourage people to definitely carpool. The more people we can get to carpool, the better it will be in the end for everybody.
If you would like to have a question or comment for either of our guests, you just heard Amanda Ford, spokeswoman for the Columbus Department of Public Safety. Also with us, Lynn Robinson, Ride Solutions Manager for the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides Facebook page and post your question or comment there. Amanda Ford, what about a bike corral? Are there options like that for red, white, and boom?
You know, that is one question we have not been asked about that yet coming out of our office. So, you know, obviously I can follow up with public service to see if that's something we are going to do. I believe in the past that they have done that. I know for some events downtown, because we do have a large number of bicyclists, and mm-hmm. obviously it's a lot easier to get out of town on a bike than what it is. So, you know, that's something we'll definitely have to check on.
Another issue that somebody brought up earlier, one of the callers, or might have been someone who emailed us, how many people use COTA buses at night after they've been out to the bars?
Yeah, specific to red, white, and boom, or at any time?
At any time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, fortunately, it's a much safer way for people to get to and from mm-hmm. bars and home. You know, so obviously that will impact, you know, hopefully people will just choose to take a cab instead of, you know, getting behind the wheel of a car. You know, obviously safety is always going to be an issue. So officers will definitely have to be watching out for that. So it is a concern.
Once again, we have a call coming in, 614-292-8513. If you have a question or comment, get them to us soon. We're running out of time. Lynn Robinson, how has MORPC been involved, or has MORPC been around, and had any recollections of previous CODIS strikes back in 86, 87?
I was not at the organization then. However, I did do some digging, and yes, at that time, I believe back in the early 80s, that's when we started to add van pooling when these type of issues came up. You know, what are some of the alternatives for those that ride the bus to and from work, because that's where van pooling really is most effective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, car pooling allows you to be more flexible, but the van pooling, you know, you have a set pickup point, a set drop-off point, where carpoolers can pretty much make their own schedule. So we have addressed the concerns of those that are riding the bus before. What we ask people is give us a call. We also have a toll-free number, which is 1-888-742-RIDE. They can call, and they'll be connected directly to a representative, and her name is Kim, and she can really help navigate those individuals to saying, hey, based on the time of day, I know you talked briefly about what about those evening workers and
right.
those that don't have a normal 9-to-5 schedule. Well, we have a database of about 3,000 folks that have said, hey, I am interested in being part of some type of alternative. You know, they might not be using it today. However, I would like to, you know, be in the system in case of just something like this, a bus strike, or something else were to happen, their car breaks down. So we kind of have people in there as an insurance plan of action mm-hmm. for them. So what I'd ask them to do is give us a call. Let's see if we have some carpool matches in the system already. We can also check to see if there is some availability on some of our current vans.
Lynn Robinson, what are the costs to participate?
For carpooling, that is a one-on-one with those that are in the carpooling.
Okay.
Those that are in that carpool that you would be matched with. Some folks that are the driver, they ask an individual to help pay on gas.
Mm-hmm.
Some might say, hey, help me on my parking fee. So it depends, and we give those individuals tips to determine how to negotiate that and talk about that. As far as van pooling, that fee is a set monthly fee. And that fee includes your seat on the van, it includes the gas, it includes the insurance and the maintenance on that van. And, of course, there's one set fee for the van, but it's spread out throughout all the passengers.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 7, 9, 12, and 15 passenger vans. So, of course, the more people that are on that van, the lower the cost is for
Oh,
the passenger.
I see. There's a fixed cost to do it, and then whatever amount of passengers are on the van have to split it up.
Exactly.
So it varies between vans then.
Exactly, and it varies, and that cost is determined based on how many people are on the van, what size the van is, and how far that van travels.
Okay, well, Lynn Robinson, I want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Lynn Robinson, she's Ride Solutions Manager for the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. We'll have a link to them so you can learn more about their options in case there is a strike or just in case you maybe want to start ride sharing. And Amanda Ford, thanks for joining us.
Oh, no problem at all. Thank you.
Amanda Ford, she's the spokeswoman for the Columbus Department of Public Safety. We've been talking about Red, White, and Boom and contingency plans for that. If there is a strike, a COTA strike, they are meeting tomorrow. The negotiators are meeting tomorrow with COTA and at 1:30. I'm sorry, not tomorrow, Sunday at 1:30. And they may come up with a solution before then. If not, the strike will begin early July 2nd, just in time for Red, White, and Boom. We did invite union representatives to join our show today. They didn't respond to our request. They have told the Columbus Dispatch that they were under a gag order. So we're not sure. We look forward to hearing from them anytime and talking to them about their point of view. I want to thank the Allside staff, Linda Taylor, Amy Jarovich, Corinne Gleckler, Allside's volunteer Rachel Ramey and Andrew Sweet, with video production by Rich and Amber Karsminski. Alan DeCenzo is the composer of our theme music. You can listen back to today's shows and every show by visiting WOSU.org/allsides. Explore the All Sides archive, where you can find more information, links, and audio and video of every show. Also, be sure to like All Sides with Ann Fisher on Facebook and follow me, Ann, on Twitter, at Ann Fisher, WOSU. Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.